Luke chapter 5, verse 16, and it says, "But Jesus often withdrew to lonely places and prayed." The second reading comes from Luke chapter 6, verses 12 to 13, and they say, "One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray and spent the night praying to God. When morning came, he called his disciples to him and chose 12 of them, whom he also designated apostles." The final reading comes from Luke chapter 22, verses 39 to 43, and they say, "Jesus went out as usual to the Mount of Olives, and his disciples followed him. On reaching the place, he said to them, 'Pray that you will not fall into temptation.' He withdrew about a stone's throw beyond them, knelt down and prayed, 'Father, if you are willing, take this cup from me. Yet not my will, but yours be done.' An angel from heaven appeared to him and strengthened him." Let's take a moment to just pray for Tim. Yeah, Lord, we come before you thanking you for this amazing, beautiful day that you've given us. We pray for Tim, oh Lord, as he comes to preach your word to us today. We pray that his words are accompanied by the power of the Holy Spirit and that they may move in our hearts and in our lives. In your name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much, Trina. Thank you so much, everyone who's taken part in this service so far. And welcome again to our live stream. This morning, we're talking about the joy of solitude, this power, as Becky was saying, of getting time alone with God, where you can hear his voice, you can experience his presence. I wonder if that is something you want more of in your life. You know, we've already heard today how vital, you know, those times can be. You know, time with God can sustain you through the biggest trials in life, like Bridget was sharing in facing cancer. It can lift you when in despair, like we heard about with Elijah. It can find you when you feel lost. It can strengthen you when you're feeling alone or anxious. It can breathe life and hope into every aspect of your life, your marriage, your job, your parenting, your singleness. Henri Nouwen writes this. He writes, "Without solitude, it is virtually impossible to live a spiritual life." And he writes that in his book, Making All Things New. Here it is. And he also talks about the power of community in that, which we're going to be looking at next week. But without solitude, he says, it's impossible. Do you want more of God's help and hope in your life? I think most of us would probably say, yes, that's what I want. It's what I need. So here's my question this morning. If it's true that time with God has such a kind of profound impact in our lives, why don't we do it more? Why do we find it so hard? I often find it hard. You know, I was thinking it can sometimes be a bit like, you know, those old analog radios, you know, like radio like this, where you've got to kind of tune things in, the different stations. And you kind of turn the dial. And sometimes as you tune in, it can sound like you just get this static. You know, there's just no signal. Do you ever have that with God? Do you know what it is to kind of try and tune in to God? You hear people talk about hearing for God, but you try to tune in, you just get static. This morning, I want to talk about how we can really connect with God. To do so, we're going to look at the most connected to God person of all time, Jesus Christ. Now, it might not surprise you that Jesus was connected to God. He is God. Maybe you think that doesn't even count. Well, this is fascinating. Even though Jesus is God the Son, we've seen in all of those readings this morning that Jesus desperately needed time with God, his Father. Luke 5:16, the first reading says this, "Jesus often withdrew to lonely places." In the major moments and decisions of his life, we find Jesus praying, often all night. In fact, right at the start of his ministry, he goes to the desert to pray for 40 days. Why? Well, could it be that even Jesus, in his humanity, needed time alone with God? Could it be that this is where the power for living this life comes from? I want to talk about three things just very briefly from Jesus that we see in Jesus' life here. Three kind of key transitions we need to make to open up a living, dynamic relationship with God where we can hear his voice and experience his power so we can be tuned in. Firstly, we need to move from distraction to devotion. You know, distraction is one of the biggest barriers to meeting with God and hearing his voice. And it's often not just the trivial things that distract. There are real demands on our time. That was true for Jesus. The demands were off the scale. There were just like crowds of needy people literally followed him everywhere, begging him to do this and do that and come here and go there. Do you know what it is like to kind of be pulled in multiple directions? How did Jesus cope? Well, in Mark's gospel, we read of a very similar incident. Mark 1:35 says this: very early in the morning, while it was still dark, Jesus got up, left the house, went off to a solitary place where he prayed. It's in the middle of busy ministry time, Jesus withdraws. It's the same situation we read in Luke 5. It's busy ministry time, Jesus often withdraws. Why does Jesus get up in the dark? Well, one reason is simply to get away from the distractions. You know, when there's no people. And do you find you've got too many distractions in your life? You know, back to the radio, you know, sometimes it's like we're kind of rushing through the day and we're just kind of going from different station. It's shooting into different ones and then another one and then another one and then another one. And you even try to tune into God, like a snippet of God's word, a quick prayer here, but you never really hear. You know, if you want to have a proper conversation with someone, you need time alone with them, free from distraction. Jesus knew that in a world where there were so many different voices and demands, there was one voice above all that he needed to hear, the voice of his Father. And he'd come back from these times with fresh direction and clarity. So in Mark 1, after Jesus has prayed, the disciples say, everyone's looking for you. Look, come back. And Jesus says, no, it's time to go somewhere else. See, time with God will direct your life. It will help you say yes when you need to say yes. But most importantly, perhaps, it will help you to say no when you need to say no. In C.S. Lewis's The Screwtape Letters, the senior demon has a plan to distract people. And his plan is all about creating noise, countless distractions, so people will be unable to hear the voice of God in the silence. That still, small voice that Rosanna presented for us so beautifully earlier. See, what happens is that you end up, when life is just full, you end up reacting to the world, you know, being pulled this way and that rather than responding to God. I wonder what your biggest distraction is. For many of us, it's this, isn't it? It's the phone. The actress Joanna Lumley said last year that if she could, she would destroy every child's phone. That'd be an interesting application, wouldn't it? You can see the horror on people's faces. She says this: I can't bear it because they are so addictive. Children have them glued to their hand. And as they walk, they look down. They look down. They don't have any curiosity because all they have is a screen. They've stopped feeling and imagining. And this is an issue not just for children, but for adults. You know, distractions can make you perform poorly in every area of life, in work, in school, in relationships. And most importantly, they can be toxic to your faith. You know, phones are fantastically clever and useful devices, but probably the most important button on your phone is the off button. And if you're a parent, you have to press that button for your children. They can't do it for themselves. You know, when we're distracted, we don't experience the power of devotion. You've probably heard of Malcolm Gladwell's 10,000 hours rule. The idea that when you put 10,000 hours practicing deliberately on an activity, you can master it. You know, so if you want to get good at something, principle simple, you need to devote yourself to it. And there are all sorts of things in life you can devote yourself to. You can worship, as we were looking at last week. But if you want to get good at hearing God's voice, if you want to learn to recognize that voice, you want to experience God's power, then you need to devote yourself to the Lord. You know, one of the primary ways we hear God's voice is through his word, the Bible. Yeah, but there is a world of difference between quickly just reading a few verses and saying a quick prayer before rushing to the next thing, and actually kind of getting up before others, going to a lonely place and getting quiet, meditating on God's word. You know, praying for God to speak to you and then waiting on God. You know, as I look back at my journal, it's always the extended times with God where I've heard God's voice most clearly. I wonder what the distractions are in your life that are stopping you hearing God's voice. We need to move to devotion. Secondly, we need to move from independence to dependence. I've realized that probably the thing that most keeps me from prioritizing time with God is when I foolishly think that I don't need to spend time with God. You know, sometimes, crazily, I even think that my time with God is for kind of God's benefit rather than for mine. And do you ever do this? You know, it becomes a task that you need to kind of tick off your to-do list. And when it's done, you feel pleased with yourself. And, you know, that completely misses the point. And it reveals an independent heart. We effectively say to God, oh, I can do life on my own, thanks. It's called pride. And see, we end up working, doing school, doing our parenting, doing relationships, even helping others without God's help, without his power. And that's like a radio trying to work without being plugged in, without any batteries. See, even Jesus, the Son of God, needed to be plugged in. And sometimes in our emphasis on the divinity of Christ, we lose sight of the fact that he was fully human. And Philippians 2 verse 7 says this, says Jesus made himself nothing. Literally translated, it says he emptied himself. Now we know he remained divine, yet in his humanity he was limited. He got tired, got frustrated. He faced grief and temptation. There is perhaps even doubt in the Garden of Gethsemane in that reading of Luke 22. This was no easy ride for Jesus. He was fully man. Hebrews 4:15 says he was tempted in every way, just as we are. Jesus knows what it is to live this life. So how did he get through the temptations? Where did his power come from? Well, perhaps one of the most surprising verses in the Bible is John 5:19, where Jesus says this. He says, the Son, speaking about himself, can do nothing, nothing on his own. He can only do what he sees his Father doing. See, in his humanity, Jesus is utterly dependent on God the Father for everything. And he says the same is true of us. He says, apart from me, you can do nothing. So in Luke 6, he faces a huge decision. Jesus has to decide, well, who's to raise up and train to lead the early church? Who to select out of the hundreds who are following? And so he spends all night in prayer to get wisdom. Luke 6, verse 12. One of those days, Jesus went out to a mountainside to pray, and he spent the night praying to God. And then when morning came, he called his disciples to him, and he chose 12 of them, designating them apostles. You see, if Jesus needed to do that all night prayer to make good decisions, how much more do you and I need the counsel of God? You know, as things get busier and harder, Jesus spends more, not less time with his Father. Jesus models being a dependent child and calls us to be like children too. He says that many times, doesn't he, in the Gospels, become like children. And so often we do the opposite. You know, have a really tough week, we think, actually, I need a lion, not the early morning prayer meeting. Or there's just too much to do, so we skip the devotion time. Or we face a big decision at work, and the only person we don't consult is God. Are you living independently from God at the moment, when you could instead come and receive his help as a child? You could get his help in your parenting. You could get his help in your job, in your life. Finally, we need to move from control to surrender. This is perhaps the biggest battle of all when it comes to our relationship with God, giving up control. To use the radio illustration again, you know, sometimes we finally get that right channel. We tune in to what God is saying or where God is leading, and then we discover we don't actually like it. We say, I don't want to go that way. I don't even like what God's word says there. And so we try and kind of switch stations again and even pretend that we haven't. We desperately want control because it makes us feel safe and secure. You know, that's why the Brexit slogan, take back control, was so effective. It kind of tapped into a deep insecurity and desire we have in our hearts to be masters of our own destiny, captains of our own souls. You know, one of the things that COVID-19 has done is to reveal what an illusion that sense of control is. But it is a real battle to give it up. And this was hard even for Jesus. Look at his prayer in Luke 22. He says, Father, if you're willing, take this cup from me. He says, it's like, I'm not sure about this path. This is so hard. And then he prays, yet not my will, but yours be done. This is one of the most powerful prayers you can ever pray in your life. But surrender is hard. Because to be honest, God's way doesn't always look great. To Jesus, it looked like betrayal, trial, accusation, kind of loss of everything. You know, so much of our anxiety comes from the fear that our wills, our plans won't be worked out. And our suspicion that maybe God won't work it out either. So can God be trusted? You know, life can be very difficult sometimes. God often takes us through suffering and sacrifice, but we need to remember where it leads. See, it leads somewhere infinitely better than where we were. See, on the cross, it looks like all is lost. It looks like unanswered prayer. It looks like failed mission. It looks like the end. And yet 3 days later, we discover the very thing that everyone thought could never be used by God. The path that looked like failure. The thing that proves to be the biggest victory of all. And this same principle applies today. That God takes our losses and turns them into victories. The cross gives way to resurrection. You know, are you facing difficult days? Are you finding it hard to surrender? Be encouraged. God has promised he will work his victory. He will work all things, he says, together for the good of those who love him. You see, all of this in the end comes down to the issue of trust. You know, who am I trusting in, myself or my God? You know, the world tries to kind of squeeze us into a life of distraction, independence and control, where we're super busy and we basically try to save ourselves through our efforts and our performance, where we're driven by our fears and our need for approval. But Jesus invites us onto a completely different path. It's the path of devotion, dependence and surrender. Why? Because this path unleashes God's power like nothing else. It is a path that is only possible because Jesus has already traveled it first. That's why he came. He came to walk the path that we fail to walk, the path of a dependent child. And he walks it perfectly. And yet, strangely, at the end of his life, we see not kind of connection for Jesus with God his Father, but separation from God on the cross. Why? Well, on the cross, the unthinkable is happening. You see, Jesus lives our story of separation from God so that we can live his story of connection to God. He swaps places with us. Jesus gets cut off from his Father. He enters kind of the static, as it were, so that we could be forgiven and finally tune in to God and hear his voice, experience his power. And so I want to invite you to something very simple this morning. It's to tune in to God. Remember that radio? Tune in. Come to the place where you can hear his voice, open his words, meditate, ask him to speak to you. Ask for his power to be released. This is what Jesus has made possible. Perhaps you need to book a special extended time with God this week. Perhaps you need to establish a daily rhythm. Perhaps you need to decide on some kind of practical ways you can stop distraction dominating your daily life, like only having, like looking at social media once a day, or not having your phone on first thing in the morning or last thing at night, or not checking your emails after a certain time. And the purpose is an amazing one. The purpose is that we might discover the power of time with God, to hear the things God wants to say to you, and to experience the work that God wants to do in and through your life. So let's pray together. Let's pray. I wonder where you've been trying to live life on your own. Perhaps you want to pray a prayer a bit like this with me. Lord, please remove the distractions, Lord, that I might devote myself to you. Cause that hunger for you to rise in my heart. Lord, forgive my independence. Lord, forgive my pride. Lord, help me see my need of you. Lord, help me become a dependent child. There might be a particular area that you just need to invite God's help in at the moment. Just bring that to the Lord. Lord, we need your help. Lord, we surrender our lives to you. Lord, I surrender my life to you. Come and have your way. I pray in the name of Jesus. Amen.